We are in the midst of a sermon series this summer where we're looking at various hymns or worship songs and preaching around the theme that they offer. We have engaged in songs such as Amazing Grace and One Day at a Time. And here today, we are looking at the song entitled This is the Air I Breathe that we just sang moments ago. It's sang by various artists like Michael W. Smith or Rebecca St. James or the worship group called Hillsongs. This is the Air I Breathe was first sung and written by a woman named Marie Barnett. She sang it at her church, but she never considered herself to be a songwriter. Her writings of worship was something she did behind closed doors between her and the Lord. One Sunday, however, this would all change, and as she led worship that morning, she was moved by the Holy Spirit, and the words from the song that we now know as Breathe spontaneously came out. She and her husband had been singing the song, Isn't He? And as that ended and her husband continued to play music on, Marie says this. She says, I was so enthralled with Jesus at that moment, thinking that I could never live. I could never even take a breath if I didn't first have a word from him every day. And I heard these words. This is the air I breathe. This is my daily bread. And so she began singing them. The congregation soon began to join in. And as they praised God, and as they sang those words, a song was formed. Over time, the song was recorded, and it has since become a popular worship song being sung in churches all over the United States and in Europe. Listen to the song again here as we play it, and take a moment to meditate on the words that are being sung as we listen to this.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
Do you hear it in the song? Do you hear the desire for more of God in the words of what we just heard? As I have listened to that song over the last couple of weeks, I have been struck by the words, "I am desperate for you." Desperate. I can relate to being desperate to or for a lot of things, but desperate for God, most days, is not something I'd put on the list. Rather, however, I can relate to the kind of desperate that comes with being new parents, up all night with a baby who doesn't sleep more than 20 minutes at a time. I remember all too well those days of being desperate for sleep. I can relate to being desperate for school to be over, for homework to be finished, for summer to begin. I know what it's like to be desperate for a drink of a cold glass of water after a hot run, or for a bite of French fries or a slice of pizza as the scent taunts me from the boardwalk as I sit on the beach. I know that's rough, isn't it? But I also understand the desperation of wanting good news, of being in the waiting and the wondering and the wanting badly for the nightmare to be over. The desperation for a new morning, for another word or a second chance, for a do-over. One more moment with your child, one more conversation with our parents, one more hug with our spouse. Desperate for those moments to have again. We get being desperate for those things. We all have things that we are desperately longing for. But being desperate for God, I'm not sure I find that as easy to relate to or as often expressed as much as I perhaps want or need to be doing. Perhaps I've experienced a desperation in wanting something from God, and wanting God to do something or to act in a certain way or to change something. But a desire to be all God, to breathe in and to breathe out God, to desire him more than I need or want or crave anything else in all of this world, I fall short. I do not desire God in the way that I should, and the way that he desires and wants me. But as I have thought about the words from this song, as I have pondered what to write for this sermon, as I have closed my eyes and prayed for God to move, I have found myself praying for God's Spirit to make me more desperate for him. We just read in the Old Testament passage from Deuteronomy these instructions to the Israelites. And it's those words that point us in the direction of wanting and desiring and being desperate for God in every part of our life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them while you sit at home and while you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols around your hands and bind them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Again, we hear from Paul in Ephesians as he prays for believers to be filled with the wholeness of God, to know of the fullness that comes in being loved by God. Like Marie Barnett sang that one Sunday morning in her church, to recognize God, the Spirit of the living God, as the very air we breathe, as our sought-after daily bread, to pursue a desperate need to be that filled with all that God has to offer us. And yet, I don't think we come even close to beginning to really grasp or understand how wide and how deep and how long God's love for us really is. How outrageous this love is. How indescribable, how relentless, how extravagant God's love for us is. And friends, that's the love that we need to be desperate for. That's the kind of love, the who of the love, that we are to desire above all else in our lives. And yet I think that if we ask one another what it is we most desire, what we're most desperate for, an intimate, faith-filled seeking after Christ in all that we do, relationship with God, probably is not our number one answer. But what if? What if instead of desiring perfect lives with little to no struggles, instead we desire God and His perfect love and His redemption in less than perfect times? What if we pursue God over pursuing a life with no struggles? What if instead of desiring more money or bigger homes or fancier toys, more things to fill our house with, instead we desire God, and what we must want most is for our hearts to be filled with His Spirit of truth and of grace over our homes being filled with decor and toys and possessions? What if instead of desiring the job of our dreams or popularity or a lot of friends or a house full of well-behaved children, what if we are to desire God, to want God more than we want anything else in all of our life? What if instead of worrying about how we compare to others, instead of casting judgment, instead of trying to get ahead in this world, instead of seeking wins and raises and straight A's and accolades and awards and trophies to hang on our walls and define us, what if instead we hung Bible verses on our walls, kept our eyes on Jesus and recognized ourselves as a child of God and realized that nothing else compares to that? Not even an Olympic gold medal. It has been so very fun this past week to watch the Olympics, to engage in the competition, to cheer on our favorite athletes, to watch my kids play as they pretend to be swimmers or beach volleyball players or gymnasts as my floors bounce and shake throughout the house with activity. Some of my favorite moments, however, have been the interviews that they have with the competition. David Bedaya and Steele Johnson are two athletes who have given powerful statements after winning. They are two of America's Olympic divers, a team of two who share in interviews not just about how they encourage one another as divers, but how they encourage one another towards Jesus.
What does it mean to come out and medal here in the synchro event?
Yeah, I just think the past week there's just been an enormous amount of pressure, and I've felt it, and you know, it's just an identity crisis. When my mind is on this and thinking I'm defined by this, then my mind goes crazy. But we do have to know that our identity is in Christ, and we're thankful for this opportunity to be able to dive in front of Brazil, in front of the United States, and it's been an absolutely thrilling moment for us.
You now have gold, silver, and bronze Olympic medals. How much does this free you up for the individual event?
It does. It takes a lot of pressure off of me, but this never could have happened without Steele, without him pushing me, without him loving me well, encouraging me, and my wife has just been a solid rock, and I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, and Steele, for you, your first ever Olympics, first ever Olympic event, how were you able to maintain your composure so well?
I think the way David just described it was flawless. The fact that I was going into this event knowing that my identity is rooted in Christ and not what the result of this competition is just gave me peace, it gave me ease, and it let me enjoy the contest. If something went great, I was happy. If something didn't go great, I could still find joy because I'm at the Olympics competing with the best person, the best mentor, just one of the best people to be around. So God's given us a cool opportunity, and I'm glad I could have come away with an Olympic silver medal in my first ever event.
All right, congratulations.
I am convinced that the more we pursue Christ, the more we will desire Him, the more desperate we become for Him, the more we depend on Him for all things. We pursue Christ by opening up our Bibles and spending time reading Scripture, studying the words of God, meditating through the Psalms, engaging in the history of the Old Testament, asking questions in the New Testament like the disciples did, memorizing Scripture passages so that in moments of struggle, in times of grief, as we praise God or as we question God, when we want to hide or when we want to dance for joy. The words and the promises and encouragement of who God is and what God does is on our lips first and foremost. We cannot know God's promises and recall his words if we are not spending time in Scripture every day. Friends, this is what it looks like to be desperate for God. For his word is the air that we breathe. It is our daily bread. Fill up on that and desire more of that. A pursuit of Christ is reacting and living and doing and being all in faith. It is reaching out to touch the cloak of the one who heals because we believe so strongly in the power that comes from our Savior. It's living in faith when your brothers sell you into slavery like Joseph and you end up in prison and yet you still trust in God's goodness and you still worship and you still pursue God because it's not about your circumstances or how much people like you or whether or not the plan you had for your life is playing out. It's about the redeeming grace and love of Jesus Christ who has already claimed us and declared us victorious because of the cross. A pursuit of Christ is singing and worshiping and lifting praise hands to God when we feel trapped and things seem unfair and we feel cheated and persecuted and not understood. Like Paul, who was arrested and put in jail for doing God's work, it doesn't get more unfair than that. And yet Paul continues to pursue God and to be desperate for God. And so he praised God and he worshiped God and he trusted God and his faith was in God and not in the jail cell that he was confined to or in the condemnation being heaped on top of him. We pursue God by strengthening our faith, and our faith strengthens when we worship together as we fellowship with one another. Our faith strengthens and our desire for God becomes greater as we sit and study the Word of God together. Through Sunday school classes or through Bible studies, through small groups, through prayer for one another. Our desire for God becomes greater as we love our neighbor and we serve together. Here at Westgrove, we have many opportunities to desire God through service. Have you joined in yet? You can serve with Family Promise. We just finished a week of Family Promise here. As we serve and host families who do not have homes at the moment. In September, we have the opportunity to spend a weekend down in Crisfield, Maryland, and work on repairing homes that were damaged in Hurricane Sandy 4 years ago. The youth had their mission trip over the summer where they desired God through service. And now, as adults, we have the opportunity to put our faith in action and desire God through serving. Have you spoken to any one of our mission team members? They have loads of opportunities where you can serve people right here in our community, various ministries and missions in and throughout the neighborhoods that we live in. In October, we will partner again with Good Neighbors and work on a home right here in our own neighborhood. You can serve by volunteering as a Sunday school teacher and teach our little ones, or spend one Sunday down in the nursery. You can join the youth ministry team and serve as you build relationships with our teenagers. You can come this Thursday or Friday to the Westgrove Memorial Park down in the borough for an outreach to our children as we have soccer clinics and soccer games that go on Thursday and Friday morning. As we partner with other churches and reach out to the children in our very own borough. Bring cookies or bring some waters or put on your sneakers and come play soccer. As we show up and pursue the things that are of God, our hearts and our minds are more filled with the Holy Spirit and we begin to turn this world upside down as we live out the very kingdom of God here in our community. That's what it looks like to be desperate for God. To love the Lord with all our hearts, our soul, and our strength. To be strengthened with God's power in faith, to have Christ dwell in our hearts, to even begin to grasp together as a community how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ Jesus, and to be filled beyond measure with the fullness that is our God. What is it that you are most desperate for in your life right now? Let me encourage you to evaluate that and to pursue more than anything else, loving Jesus. As you are loved by an awesome God who sent his Son to a cross for us, we are loved extravagantly. We are loved wildly. We are loved with pursuit. We are loved relentlessly. Go this morning in the knowledge that we are invited into a scandalous relationship with a mighty God who can and will awaken within us a desperate desire for the very God who created us and loves us. Let us this morning be desperate for God. Amen. Amen.